T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome on, welcome on. The Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. We are so glad that you are hanging out with us today. As always, certainly appreciate it. And Radio Joe Zanzola producing the show in the studios. Evan Heffelfinger there as well. And I'm Bill Michaels. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Also, don't forget, Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good, brewed with the unique 5-step filtration process and ensures the cleaner finish and no lingering aftertaste, only 100 calories. Go to BudLight.com. That is BudLight.com. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our Radio.com NFL insider, former GM for the Cleveland Browns as well. Michael Lombardi is here, and his presence brought to you by, we'll tell you who the brought to you bys are coming up here momentarily, but let's get him on now. Michael, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
We're doing really, really well. I wanted to ask you right out of the chute, Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people praising him for whatever it is that he did this offseason or whatever it is he noticed. Give me your thoughts on the level at which Aaron Rodgers is playing. Because a lot of people thought that, you know, hey, after last season, maybe he was starting on the decline, but he started out on fire.
You know, he's played really well the last 2 weeks, so I think it's getting the ball down the field, making explosive plays. I think that's something he hasn't been able to do in the last 5 years. When you go back and study Aaron 5 years before, he was averaging 8.4 yards per attempt down the field. The last 5 years, that hasn't been the case. And I think this first two games of the whether it's because he trusts the receivers or he feels comfortable now in the second year in the offense, he's at 8.2. You know, the last time he was over 8 was in 2014 when he was 8.4. So he had a stretch from 2009 to 2014 where he was consistently over 8. One year he was in the 9s, and then he dropped off. Then the next 5 years, he was from 6.7 to 7.4, and now he's back again. So that's the key. That is the key to everybody's offense. You can't win football games averaging around 7 yards per attempt. You've got to be in the 8s, and he is.
I wanted to go back and look at he said he noticed something in the offseason going back to 2011. Now, the only thing I can assume is either, one, he's throwing more off of his front foot, or he's just getting rid of the ball quicker. But also, he's spreading the ball around. Yes, he threw a lot of times in the early on to Devontae Adams, but it doesn't look like he's forcing him the ball, and it looks like he's trusting guys or just going with it earlier, getting rid of the football and allowing them to do the work after the fact. Do you see the same thing?
I think so. Look, I think it's hard for veteran quarterbacks, especially a guy who's been with the team since 2005. You know, and he's used to having certain guys, a level of player around them. And sometimes when the roster changes, they don't trust it. It happened with Tom Brady up in New England. They just don't trust the receivers. You know, no matter how good you tell them they are, they don't trust it. And I kind of got the feeling now he's put that behind him. I kind of get the feeling that, you know what, whoever they put on the field for me to play with, I'm going to throw him the ball, whether it's Scantling, whether it's Lazard, whomever it may be, I'm going to throw him the football. And if they make the play, they make the play. If they don't, hey, I'm trying to do what's best for the offense. And I think that's the mentality he needs to continue to take.
Aaron Rodgers, the leading grade, I guess the way you can possibly put it, when it comes to Pro Football Focus so far this season, that's the level in which he's playing. And he also, he is right now, they say, has six drops, so his numbers could even look better as the season goes on. I also want to talk about the run game, though, the support that he's got. And while they've mixed it up, certainly Aaron Jones picked up where he left off from last season. He's had a big rush, obviously, of 75 yards for a touchdown. He's cotton balls out of the backfield. So tell me about the importance of having a guy like Aaron Jones. And then obviously at the end of the season, they got a decision to make about whether or not to keep him. And if you're a general manager, you're sitting there right now going, what is his value going to be? Because he looks a lot like Alvin Kamara at this point.
You know, he does. You know, going back to Aaron, I don't know if anybody's having a better year than Russell Wilson. Let's just put that out there. Russell Wilson's only thrown 11 incomplete passes. He averages 9.6 yards per attempt, which is unheard of. He's thrown 9 touchdowns, 1 interception off the tip. So, you know, no one's playing better than Russell Wilson. I think Aaron's playing great, but no one's playing better than Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson's ahead of everybody. Aaron Jones, to me, is a playmaker. This whole notion about you can't pay backs is wrong. You can pay backs if they impact the passing game, if they are playmakers and they do things away from the formation where you just don't have to give them the football, i.e. Alvin Kamara, i.e. Christian McCaffrey. Those guys, Dalvin Cook, those guys, you got to pay because they're playmakers. And this kid's a playmaker. I know they drafted A.J. Dillon, but A.J. Dillon's not going to extend himself from the formation and run slants and catch the ball and do the things that Aaron Jones could do. I think you got to pay Aaron Jones. I think he's a key component to what they've done. It's a great fifth-round pick for them. They should reap the rewards of it.
And we're talking with Michael Lombardi right now, and also he is brought to you by our friends at Rocket Mortgage, 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. 1,000 up for grabs every single week at radio.com/picks. So looking around the rest of the league, you mentioned Russell Wilson, saw him play, and boy, what Russell Wilson does, he's never had an all-out, all-pro offensive line in front of him. He is still creating so much with his feet and getting it done in that fashion. I'm still in awe that he does not get as much respect, and he's never won an MVP at this point either. I'm still in awe that he doesn't get a ton of respect. How come?
I can't answer that. I have no idea. You know, I think partly because I think everybody thinks Seattle's a running team. You know, this year they've thrown 63 passes. They've actually thrown more passes than they've run the ball. They've run it 50 times. But the two throws he makes on Sunday night against the Patriots, the deep seven cut to DK Metcalf and then the one in the end zone, it's almost a back shoulder throw at the pylon to Moore, is just remarkable. And he's done it pretty much his whole career. And, yeah, when the offensive line isn't great, but one of the things I think that helps them is because they're not great, he moves around, and with his eyes always down the field, he can make plays throwing it up the field. So, look, Seattle's defense isn't as good as they've been in the past, but their offense is unique, and their offense can score on anybody in the National Football League. They're going to be tough to play.
Last night we witnessed the New Orleans Saints struggle a little bit after that opening drive, and the Packers have them next up on the docket. What did you see out of New Orleans and out of Drew Brees and company? I was listening to Sean Payton afterwards say, yeah, the numbers went up in the red zone and the numbers went up on third down percentage, but he said it's still play calling, it's still struggles. What are the struggles right now that you see regarding the New Orleans Saints?
Well, look, I think the number one struggle is they can't get the ball down the field. You know, I think that's really clear. So far this year, Drew Brees has thrown 7 passes over 10 yards. 7. That's all he's thrown. And he's only completed 2 of those. When you play an Arena League game, which is essentially what he's playing, throws 10 yards and shorter. Now, he's got 23 of those throws, and he's completed 16 of those. That's hard. That's hard to do. He's thrown the ball 5 times between the 11-yard line, between 11 yards the ball travels in the air, and 20. That's not good enough. Defenses know if they can't throw it down the field. You know, and he's not very good at throwing it to his left. Everything is in the middle or to the right. And so people get a read for it. It's like playing against a three-point shooter. Why would you go defend the three-point line if a guy can't make it? You know, why would you run out there? So it's the same thing. I think Brees is at a point in his career where Sean Payton's going to have some tough decisions. They've made one play of over 25 yards in 2 games. And they've played against defenses. Now, I think the Bucs defense is good, but that Raider defense last night gave up 30 to Carolina. They should have gave up 40 last night. I mean, they are not very good, and yet the Saints, because they can't get it down the field. And what happens when you can't do that is you become a team that's an awful, that you look slower than you really are, and that's a big problem.
I wanted to ask you about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You mentioned Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, you know, struggled a little bit in the opener, looked better last week, threw a pick, threw a touchdown pass as well. But tell me what you see right now out of Tampa Bay, because I think the teams to beat in the NFC are New Orleans, are Seattle. You could even say maybe San Francisco, but they've got so many injuries now. So you got to look at Tampa Bay. You got to look at Green Bay. I might be missing one, but those are the teams that I'm kind of looking over the fence going, okay, what else is in their backyard for them to be the team to beat in the NFC?
Well, you know, when you go to the NFC, I mean, look, I think the West is loaded, right? Seattle, the Rams are good. Rams played two really good games. They've beaten two NFC East opponents. The NFC East is not very good. You know, Dallas won luckily last week. And, you know, I think with Tampa, you know, Tampa's got to prove that they can play as effectively late in the season if they play early. And I think defensively they're good. I think offensively they haven't found their rhythm quite yet. I think it's going to take Tom some time. He looked a lot better last week than he did in week one. Atlanta's got an explosive offense, boy, but they just can't stop anybody. And then when you go to the north, I think it's just Green Bay. Minnesota is in a rebuilding year. I don't see Minnesota challenging. Their offensive and defensive lines are not very good. I think Adam Thielen is a number two receiver, not a number one receiver. And besides Dalvin Cook, who are you worried about them going to beat you with? And then Chicago with MVP Mitch, I don't see them. And, of course, you know, Detroit is just good on offense, too slow on defense. So I think the Packers' challenge is going to come from the West, San Francisco, Seattle, and the Rams. And Arizona's playing at a much higher level.
Before I let you go, so you look at the Bears at 2-0, and I'm listening to a lot of chatter coming out of Chicago, kind of like the way it was last year for the Packers. They're 2-0, but they're the worst 2-0 team there is. You tell me, how good are the Chicago Bears?
They're a bad 2-0 team. I mean, you know, first of all, the Giants got a chance to win that game. They're throwing the ball in the end zone. The Detroit Lions, Swift drops a pass in the end zone that would have dropped it. So they're 2-0, but if two plays go in the other direction, they could be 0-2. They're not good enough on offense. I mean, they're not going to win with Trubisky at quarterback. They don't have enough physicality. And then defensively, they're good, but it's hard for them to stay good the whole game. I mean, you can wear them down, especially conditioning. The Giants had every opportunity to win the game without Saquon Barkley, who got hurt in the second quarter. So I think for Packer fans, you know, they're in love with MVP Mitch, the Bears front office, which is great for you guys because they're not going to make changes there.
Great stuff as always. I certainly appreciate you taking a couple of minutes out of your day to join us, okay?
Thank you so much. Sorry for
No, that's okay. We'll talk to you soon. There you go. Michael Lombardi joining us for a couple of minutes, and he steps in. Former Cleveland Browns general manager, Radio.com Sports NFL insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. He was brought to you by our good friends at Rocket Mortgage. The 2020 Pro Football Pick'em, $1,000 up for grabs every single week. Go to radio.com/picks. That's radio.com/picks. And he did join us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. And they've been doing it for a long, long time, 85-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. If you're looking for a new job, a good team to join, 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. When we come back, we want you to hear from the head coach, Matt LaFleur, up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you. Hey, the Van Horn Automotive Group, great people out there. I've gotten four vehicles from them now. Three trucks, a car, and they continue to do it right. They're looking to buy your car, too, whether you're in Wisconsin or over in Iowa. It doesn't matter. Anywhere in between. They have dealerships all over. Just different makes, different brands, different models, foreign, domestic, whatever it happens to be. Great service departments. They can service them all as well. For all the information, and to do it maybe even via online and CDC, you know, compliant, you can go to VanHornAuto.com. That is VanHornAuto.com. They are employee-owned. family born but employee owned, and you can stop over at fanhornauto.com and find the vehicle you want, and find the make, the model, the color, whatever it happens to be, all the features, and you can finance it, even trade in a vehicle, all online. Go to vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com. Matt LaFleur talks about Devontae Adams and that hamstring injury.
I know he wanted to go back in the game. I just told him, hey, let's see how these next few series go and see if we need you, because obviously he's a huge part of what we do offensively and a key member of this football team. So if we don't need him, I mean, we didn't want to put him back in a position to do further harm to his own body.
Also, he said, look, just with the strange offseason, with all the injuries going on around the NFL, it just could be that the injuries could be a result of having a weird offseason.
I don't know. Certainly, there seems to be a lot of injuries that are occurring, whether that's a byproduct of our offseason or it's just unlucky for a lot of these guys. I mean, I really don't know. That's something that you can never predict, and you just got to try to manage your team the best you can and try to see where they're at to adjust practice or how you're training them accordingly.
Also, the passing game. Look, we just got done talking about it with Michael Lombardi. Aaron Rodgers, one of the things that he has done extremely well, he's been on point, he's been quick, he's gotten rid of the ball, allowed other guys to get the work done. And the passing game has been in good timing, and that's what Matt LaFleur expounds upon.
I think Aaron's done a tremendous job. I think he's taken a lot of pride in getting his footwork to where he wants it, and has done such an excellent job. I mentioned the anticipation. He threw that swirl route to Bobby Tonyan. That was one of my favorite plays of the day, just his ability to let that sucker go before Bobby turned around. It takes a lot of trust in who he's throwing the ball to. And
now the one thing that has been really, really good, we talked about it during the postgame show. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. But the fact that with all the injuries and all the switching around they've had to do on the offensive line, the pass blocking has been superb.
I think our offensive line did an outstanding job and has throughout the first two games of giving our quarterback time so that when it is there in rhythm that he can let it go. And then when it's not there in rhythm, he can buy time and make plays off schedule.
Aaron Jones has been extremely versatile. He's had the ability to run the ball, block. He's also been receiving the football, and Matt LaFleur expounds upon that.
Aaron's versatility really shows up when we split him out as a wide receiver, and he's done some great things. And the other thing that you can't sleep on Aaron is just his ability as a pass protector too. I mean, there was a blitz late in that game where Aaron hits MVS down the sidelines for a big explosive gain, and Aaron Jones steps up and takes on the blitzing linebacker. And
now that's one of the plays that I alluded to during the postgame show. I mean, Aaron Jones got the linebacker, and had he not picked up the linebacker for the blitz, Aaron Rodgers would have got creamed mid-throw. Now, whether or not it would have resulted in an Aaron pass or not, we don't know, but he would have gotten decked. There's no doubt about it. They're all going to have to see kind of, you know, during the week just where some of these injuries are. And one of the injuries is to Corey Linsley, who's got that hand/thumb injury, and he's got to figure out whether or not he's going to be able to effectively snap the football.
It's hard to play center if you can't snap. So, you know, well, that's something we'll work through throughout the week and see where he's at. And, you know, if he's able to go, then he'll go.
The other guy that is really impressed, I think, or at least it's been noticed more for his play, has been Rashawn Gary. And Rashawn Gary has, as Matt LaFleur says, grown a lot over the last year and off season, so to speak. And he said, hey, look, he's a guy to pay attention to.
He continues to put forth great effort. I think he's got a better understanding of what it is we're asking him to do, his assignments, the adjustments within a play. And he gives great effort down in and down out. And I think it's always fun to watch a guy who puts everything into it, you know, reap the benefits of that.
Now, the one area, and we talked about this with Michael Lombardi just a few moments ago as well, is Aaron Rodgers has 6 drops as a quarterback to his name, and so the drops came prevalent in this contest against the Detroit Lions. So how do you fix drops?
You know, a couple of those definitely were concentration, and sometimes it's not like anybody's trying to drop a ball when they go out there. That, you know, it just sometimes it happens fast and you don't get your hands in the right place or whatever it may be, or you might take your eye off the ball a little bit too early trying to make an explosive play. And it's just one thing, we got to just make sure that we ensure the catch and finish the catch.
Packers corners, Kevin King, Jair Alexander, those guys, they have been really, really good. And you talk about Packers corner Kevin King here.
Well, I knew that he was a really long corner that when he got his hands on you, he's tough to deal with. His ability to play press man, I think, is as good as anybody. And he can shut down opponents when given those opportunities.
Now, the one thing about Kevin King, much like their defensive backs, they're pretty hard-nosed. These are guys that don't mind hitting. They like coming up in run support as well, and they are just extremely tough.
I really think that he's matured, too, over these 20 games that we've been together in terms of just his ability to fight through a lot of whatever it is that's kind of nagging him, and he's been a really productive player for us, has made a lot of plays.
Then the other question is, look, you've started off back-to-back weeks where you've just allowed the team to basically run up and down the field, and you've gotten off to some slow starts. So how many of these are either mental? We talk about that gap assignment going back to last year. What are the problems early on in ballgames?
We just got to make sure that our guys are glued into what they're doing, because I think when we are glued into our assignments and we've got all 11 doing their responsibility, I think our defense is pretty good. But it's got to be everybody. It's got to be all 11. We talk about it all the time. We got to do it from the opening snap or the first snap of the game, and just we can't let it take a few drives before we get going.
So there you go. That's Matt LaFleur of the Green Bay Packers talking about his team, and some of his guys are going to wait and see with Devontae, going to wait and see with Corey Linsley. Devontae, the good news is Devontae wanted to go back in the game. So you would think that Devontae would be ready for this contest coming up with the New Orleans Saints, but you'll have to wait and see, because usually the day after you injure, especially a hamstring, is when you feel it the most, and that's when you figure out whether or not you're going to be capable of getting through that. Because the one thing you don't want to do is re-injure a hamstring, because then it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you really never recover from it throughout the season. 855-830-8648. Hey, whether it's COVID or the winter, now here comes the fall. You probably didn't get out and do as much as you normally would do in the summer months. Maybe you're putting on a few pounds. My friends over at Newmail Medical, they can help. Like myself. I ended up calling them. I just said, hey, look, I want to get back on the all-in-one weight loss program. I really want to come out of this quarantine better. And damn, it's really worked. I was 292 back in January, 239 at today. Getting ready to travel a little bit tonight and then tomorrow, and I'll be back into town. But regardless, it's been great. It's been a great workout. It's been a great routine. It's been great eating. It's been great with all the different things that they give you and all the tools that they give you to kind of help yourself. So whether it's the brain fog from low T, and low energy, or it's from, you know, the games inside the house, inside the quarantine haven't been great, or losing the pound, they can help you with all of that. All you got to do is call 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's the Newmail Medical Center. You can't do anything if you don't call. From Green Bay and Milwaukee, two different locations, but it's one number. 414-455-4451. Again, 414-455-4451. The phone call's free. Just give them a shout. See what they can do for you. Again, 414-455-4451. When we come back, had a great conversation a little earlier about Ryan Braun with Adam McAlvey. And I talked with him about whether or not Ryan Braun would or should or could come back. And then I talked a little bit about this team that has, it gets right there to 500. They start to look over the top of that thing and they just can't get past it. 7-8 times this year, if you go back to the 0-0 mark, 7 or 8 times this year, they just have had opportunities to get over 500. They've just haven't been able to do so. So you're going to hear from Adam McAlvey. That is coming up here in just a little bit. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show right after this. Welcome back. Glad to have you. The Bill Michael Show continues on. Hey, don't forget our friends over at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. They bring you this particular segment, and glad to have them on board as always. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Will Salmon of The Athletic talking Brewers baseball. Bill Ryder of CBS Sports and Ryder Than You talking NBA. Zach Heilprin's going to talk some Badger basketball and or Badger football and other things related to sports. And former Packers quarterback J.T. O'Sullivan is going to be here tomorrow. We got a full show. We're rocking it tomorrow. going to talk about paying Aaron Jones or David Bakhtiari, because I don't know if you're going to be able to pay both. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow on the program as well. The Milwaukee Brewers have flirted with seven times during the season the ability to get over 500. They get to 500, and every time they just look over the fence, and it just doesn't happen for them. Adam McAvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. So we start off talking about this Brewers team that just can't seem to get over the 500 mark.
0-8, eight times, including opening day, obviously, where they're 0-0. And
correct.
You know, I went through them last night. I was interested in those games because when you kind of go through them, it helps tell a little bit of the story of the season, those games individually, because there's like some Eric Lauer in there who never got going. There's the Kenta Maeda near no-hitter that really highlighted the offensive problems. And on that topic, even opening day itself, being shut out by Kyle Hendricks was kind of, you know, harbinger of what was to come for an offense that just hasn't been able to do it.
This team has not been able to get over the hump when it comes to getting to 500. I guess the, my question is, Adam, and has it been, when you go through those numbers, has it been the offense? Has it, because the pitching last night out of Woodruff was really solid, and Rasmussen came in and just watched it kind of explode. Moustakas did his damage against his former team. But has it been the offense that has been more often than not lacking? Has it been bad pitching performances? Why can't this team seem to get over the top?
Yeah, I think when they look back, whatever happens the next week, when they look back on it, it's going to be the offense that needs to be examined and, you know, fixed for next season. Because, you know, Brandon Woodruff is a good example. The Brewers, I think one of the big numbers this year is that they are 5-7 behind Woodruff. Last year it was 18-4. So when you look at Woodruff's numbers, he's pitching the same. The strikeout rate's the same. The walks are the same. The stuff is the same. All the StatCast advanced data. He's pitching the same. He's pitching well. Well enough to win, at least. Now, he's definitely had stumbles in the middle of some of these games. Fifth inning has been really hard on him. But the reason that he has no margin for error because he's just not getting the support he needs. And, you know, that has been the common denominator all year long as they have tried to get over this magical 500 hump is there's too few games where the offense is, as Craig Counsell says, driving the bus. I mean, there was the 19-run game, there was the 18-run game, and there have been some good signs lately. But I think when you look at the season as a whole, it is mostly a failure of run production. And, look, I mean, they can still slip in and be very dangerous if they slip in because of those four pitchers they've got, but you know, they're going to need to hit a little bit to get there.
I want to talk a little bit about Ryan Braun, and the other day he kind of waxed a little nostalgic regarding his career with the Brewers and it possibly coming to an end. Do you get a sense as to what, you know, what he's leaning towards and what the organization is leaning towards as we creep into next season?
Well, it's so hard because the interactions are all on Zoom or text here and there, and you know, I don't know what you glean from that. It's one of the real hard things about reporting in 2020 is it's all controlled to a large degree by the club. So, no, I can't give you a good idea. I can say that I, like everybody, am trying to read into his, you know, these comments. And when you hear him talk about that infield hit being a great way to end it because, you know, every hitter feels like they get robbed of line drives all the time, he talks about that as a great way to end it. And you see people screenshotted for me, you know, Larissa Braun basically saying, I'm going to miss Milwaukee. Goodbye to Milwaukee. It makes you think that he's leaning towards not coming back. And absent of those hints, I would, you know, absent of that stuff, I would say there's no way that a player like that, who's as connected to a city, has had this complicated relationship with the city and been forgiven and re-embraced, I think, by a large percentage of the people who come to those games, there's no way he's going to go out in an empty stadium. But then you hear him talk and you sort of look at the hints and you think maybe that's the case. Now, the other part of this is it's not all his decision, right? I mean, the club is going to decline that option. It's a $4 million buyout. And they can certainly talk about some sort of a deal to come back. But what are the economics going to be this winter? And, you know, if you're talking about a couple million bucks to bring someone back as, you know, because, well, A, you think he can produce, but also as like a PR, not a stunt, but the, has a PR element to it. It's hard to throw around that money when, you know, the financial situation in the industry right now is in ruin. So that's going to be part of it, too, is there's got to be a mutual interest in 2021. And it's not entirely going to be Ryan Braun's decision.
Do you think, I mean, $4 million in today's game, and I hate to say this, but $4 million in today's game is a pittance. It's
well,
considering.
I would push back on that, Bill, because, you know, again, I always hesitate when we talk about team finances because people think it's, you know, they're just lining their pockets and I don't know, but I do know that teams are getting killed this year. With no fans
right.
in the stands, especially a team like Milwaukee that relies so heavily on ticket revenue, they're taking an absolute disaster of a bat. And I think $4 million is not a pittance in this environment.
So is $4 million for what he brings to the table, where he's brought September, where he's brought leadership, where he's brought fans, where he's been at least versatile and being able to play outfield and a little bit of infield, but do you then is that compilation of ability and numbers worth $4 million in today's market?
Well, that's going to be the question Mark Attanasio and David Stearns to some degree face. And you know, the buyout's $4 million, then you got to pay him a salary on top of that. So whatever the number that they come to in this theoretical exercise would be, they have to decide whether that's, you know, worth giving an opportunity to have a proper send off. And again, it's going to also be dependent on production. I mean, the one thing we know is that when he is healthy enough to swing the bat, he's really dangerous. How many games can you have him healthy enough to be that dangerous hitter? I mean, the guy kills left-handed pitching as much today as he did the day he came up to the big league. But the back's got to be right in order for him to do it. And they have to put all those factors together and come up with a decision about whether it makes sense to give it a go another year. Again, the hints are screaming pretty loudly to me like this might be it. And I guess maybe I'm reading too much into the little word here.
No, I thought the same thing. I thought for a while that he was coming back. I thought coming out of spring training that if he had a good season, if they were going to protect his body, if he was still healthy, I really thought after talking with him that he was coming back. And I agree with you, the screenshots, the comments, the hints, he's not Brett Favre. I mean, I hate to bring that up, but he's not Brett Favre where he's going to waver. I mean, I think, you know, when he talked about his kids, his wife, the family life, being away, and he really has to weigh that because as the kids get older, he really enjoys spending time with them. It sounded to me like he was saying, you know what, I just want to go home. I don't want to do anything. I just want to go home. I want to spend time with the family. That's to me what it sounded like. I completely agree with you.
And I agree with you, Bill, on the part about not wavering. When he makes his decision, it's going to be 100%. And he's been talking like that since he was 28 years old, 29 years old, saying when he decides he's done, he's just going to walk away and that's the end of it. And there's not going to be like hanging on. He's not going to play until he's 45 years old and can barely walk up to home plate. That is not going to be Ryan Braun. That part we know for sure. It's just a matter of, you know, whether this is it. And look, I'll say the other factor that can't be overlooked in this is the larger offense. If they had this core of hitters that they were bringing back, that they absolutely loved and absolutely killed it, and Ryan Braun can be a really nice complement to that group, play against lefties, play a little here, play a little there. If the DH is still around, play some DH. That's going to be a big factor too. That would be a different story, but they don't have that kind of offense. They have an offense that looks like it needs fixing, and they're right back where they need a first baseman. They need a third baseman. They need to figure out, you know, who's going to be the shortstop, Arcia, Urias, or bring in someone else. You know, they have questions at a lot of different positions, and I think that adds also to this sort of cloud of uncertainty about where Ryan Braun fits in all that for next year.
All right, real quick before I let you go. So, big week. By the time you and I talk, the season will have culminated. Give me your thoughts as this team efforts towards the postseason. Five against St. Louis in St. Louis, even though one of those games they'll be considered the home team. They still have to finish up this series with Cincinnati. Is this team ripe to take over and get themselves into the postseason, considering they just haven't been able to eclipse the 500 mark all season long?
Well, the answer is yes when you look at the standing. And thanks to social media, I get to like witness the wave of emotion that poor Brewers fans everywhere are going through this year. And, you know, it feels like they're done and dead and terrible. And then you look at the standings and they're a game out. So, like, literally, yes, they could make the playoffs. It is bad offense or not, it is right there for them. And, you know, John Smoltz said this on MLB Network yesterday with a great conversation with Corbin Burns. I don't think a lot of teams, I mean, teams would have their hands full with the Brewers in a postseason series when you have Woodruff, Burns at the front end, Williams, Hader at the back end. So the answer is yes. They very well could sneak into the playoffs, and they very well could be dangerous if they get there.
There you go. Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com. Brewers back at it tonight against the Reds, another one tomorrow, and then they start that five-game series with the Cardinals coming up this weekend to end their season. And can they catch the Cardinals, overtake them, and get themselves into the postseason? That's the big question. Adam joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com. We're going to wrap it up coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I see your dirty face.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. Here's Mike Clemens.
Head coach Matt LaFleur says center Corey Linsley injured his right hand, the one he snaps the football with in the Packers' win over the Lions on Sunday. Is he concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's hard to play center if you can't snap. So well, that's something we'll work through throughout the week and see where he's at. And, you know, if he's able to go, then he'll go.
LaFleur asked about that cut block by the Lions that knocked Green Bay defensive lineman Tyler Lancaster out of the game for a few plays.
Yeah, I was definitely not happy about that one. Tyler was clearly in front of the offensive lineman, and he landed right on the back of his legs, which, you know, that's illegal. So there's no place for that in our game.
The Packers faced the Saints Sunday night. Running back Jamal Williams says he really hasn't missed playing for fans in the stand.
I play for my teammates, and I play for me. You know what I mean?
In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air, and we are glad you are here getting ready to kind of get out of here for the day and then be back at it again tomorrow. Tomorrow on the program, we got a big big show tomorrow. Here's the question. We're going to talk about the Packers in the offseason, and I hate to already get to the offseason, but it's something legitimate. As you watch Aaron Jones continue to perform and perform extremely well, you got to start thinking about who you're going to pay at all costs if it comes down to that and how much money it's going to take. So we'll talk about Aaron Jones. Would it be Aaron Jones or David Bakhtiari? Would it be one or the other? And we'll get into that discussion. Tomorrow, Will Salmon of The Athletic is going to be here. We're going to talk some Brewers and break down game two of the Brewers and the Reds and look at the Brewers' upcoming offseason. Hopefully it doesn't happen sooner rather than later, but we'll be talking some Brewers with Will Salmon. Bill Reiter from Reiter Than You of CBS Sports, he is going to be here. We have not really talked much about the NBA. And I know LeBron Had the article that he was just mad. He said he was PO'd that, Giannis won the back-to-back MVP. LeBron feels like he should have gotten it. And we'll talk about the league itself and where the league is right now. The rating's not good, even with L.A. being strong right now, or at least coming down to the Western Conference Finals. The ratings have not been great. We'll get into that discussion as well. Zach Heilprin is going to be here tomorrow. We're going to talk some Badgers and a little bit of Packers as well. We'll just cover sports in general with Zach. Zach's got it all, but we're going to talk with him about that, Zach from The Zone out in Madison. And the former Packer quarterback, J.T. O'Sullivan, has a quarterback podcast, and it does some videos and such, and he is going to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about how well Aaron Rodgers is playing. We'll talk about the need for the run game. We'll talk about the run game, how important it is. So we'll ask his opinion on this. If you had to pick one, which might it be? Which might it be? I mean, if you're going to talk about one or the other, is it going to be the quarterback or the left tackle when you talk about who you got to cover and who you got to pay? You know, if you have to live without one, who would it rather be? So we'll get into that discussion tomorrow as well. So there you go. I'm on my way to Wausau. Going to be in Wausau the next 48 hours. Going to go up there and hang out for a little bit, do the show up there, see some good friends, have a lot of fun. Come back and be here for the weekend as the weather continues to get nice and warm and such all throughout our great state. Enjoy it, because it looks like come next Monday and Tuesday, it's going to be plummeting. So enjoy the warmer weather for now. No doubt about it. But until we talk again tomorrow, time for us to go. Have a good one. See you.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.